Gardner in the place to be, holding it down with my co-host, the extraordinarily old, but forever giving out money, the ATM himself, JT. Jerry Taylor, what's going on, JT?
Whatever. I'm not. I don't give out money just to be giving it out, but I'll be redeemed this year when Detroit brings me home. Let me put it that way. It's ironic. I'm picking Maxime to depend on. You know what I'm saying? That's pretty ironic.
Well, your nigga ain't depending on him right now. But is this the week we're going to finalize that deal?
What with Detroit after they absolutely destroyed the last team they played, which is New England? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, then we have to make some parameters. We'll talk about that later on in the show. Let me get to the show. Let me let everybody know what's going on. Hopefully, Jake, you can get the chat room open because I can't right now. I'm having some technical difficulties in that area.
Can't get the chat room open? What's the problem, man?
Yeah, I don't know. You know where I'm at. They're probably blocking everything and anything they can.
Really?
Probably.
Okay.
But anyway... here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to call in and take part in this show, you can dial the number 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220, and we'll get you on the air and discuss whatever point you want to talk about, just as long as it's relevant to what we're talking about. You interject a new subject matter, we'll try to get to it, but I can't guarantee it.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll do our best. We got a packed show today as we are gearing up for the slew of fantasy drafts that will be taking place today. I mean, it's a great deal of fantasy drafts that are going to start all over the country. This is about the time when everybody decides to hold their draft because they know they have a good idea of who's going to be starting, who's on IR, and
mm-hmm.
all this other mess. So, so we're getting ready for that. We have one directly after this show. It's called Guys with Big Shoes.
Mm-hmm.
The commissioner is one of our other lead friends, the Duke, and we'll be in there. Hopefully JT pays that bill. I don't want to get kicked out because he didn't pay his fare, but, you know, because I like taking his money. Also, I have a draft later on today, an in-live personal draft at Buffalo Wild Wings that I'm going to do. And JT just had one this past Monday in a similar situation. Now, hopefully he's going to share that information with everybody and give his reasoning for picking who he picked.
Absolutely.
Okay, all right. But on today's show, we're going to discuss the AFC West. And who will give the Broncos the best challenge? Listen in as we break down the fantasy value of each team. Okay? Fantasy value
mm-hmm.
of each team. Also, did you buy Ryan Braun's written apology? I didn't. I want to talk about it. Hopefully JT can bring some information on that as well because he's a A-Rod supporter. And
no. No. And a hell no.
A-Rod apologist.
No. Let me clarify that before you go any further. And I clarified it on Thursday's show. I'm not a supporter of A-Rod. I'm a supporter of the process. I'm a supporter of the process, meaning it's due process, not try to convict somebody through the media, leaking things through the media to make one person out of a group of people look bad. So the public opinion, they're trying to triumph in a jury of public opinion, and these leaks are coming from Major League Baseball, all different types of leaks.
Allegedly.
From all different
allegedly.
Types of leaks from all different types of media venues, and the media is buying into this garbage. That's what I'm the supporter of. I'm not necessarily a supporter of A-Rod. I'm supporter of being able to have due process. If he's wrong, fine. If he's not wrong, fine. But don't just start barraging the media or the people through the media of all these things supposedly A-Rod has done wrong, or this is the justification. That's what I'm talking about.
Get off your soapbox. We ain't there yet.
Okay.
But we'll be getting there.
Okay. Got a packed show, man. Got a lot of things to cover.
I know. We're going to talk about baseball first. Mainly about Ryan Braun and his situation. But
piece of garbage.
One thing I want to bring up before we get to that is AI. Allen Iverson is finally going to put the proper paperwork in to call it a career and retire from the NBA. And my question is, well, Sylvia's trying to get him on her show as well, but my question to you, Jerry, is this. Is Allen Iverson a Hall of Famer?
Yes. Absolutely. For
why?
God, that why? As Diamond,
yes.
He was a guy at, for his size, and for a period of time, Allen Iverson was one of the most dominant players in the NBA, without a doubt, without a doubt. Regardless of what type of how you felt about him as a person, on and off the court, as a person, not a player, as a person, and you can't hold that against him because even though he may have been a jerk on the court sometimes and really a jerk off the court, his ability spoke for itself. And Allen Iverson, in my opinion, is definitely a Hall of Famer. I don't like the guy. I don't like Allen Iverson, I'll tell you that. I know a few of my sisters and other female acquaintances are in love with Allen Iverson and that bad boy attitude. But you got to give the guy props because he's definitely a Hall of Famer, in my opinion.
Okay. I mean, I have no ill will towards him or his game. His behavior, a little. But he was also taken advantage of by his friends and family members, as is the case with so many of these young athletes that come out of these neighborhoods or communities that they aren't conducive to being open and sharing and legit. Everybody has a handout, and everybody wants something from you. So that's part of his undoing. You know, the living the lifestyle, got it. You know, that had a little part to do with it. But friends, family, and doing things that went beyond his abilities really hung him out to dry. But with that being said, he still was a talent. He brought a new style for the me generation of basketball to the NBA. I really think he did. Kobe was there too, but it was really accentuated with Allen Iverson, especially the interview, you know, the world famous, we talking about practice interview. You know, he brings up a point to some people. It's not a point to me, but to some people about how is he, being at practice, able to help his teammates get better. And, you know, to me, that's an asinine question. Because if you're
right.
a very good player, if you're an outstanding player, and you're on the court with four other people, you can make them better by them knowing what you're going to do. or being able to set them up to do things themselves. You make them better by at least showing them how to do what you do. They might not be able to physically be able to do it, but in order to work with them, whether it's the second team, first team, whatever, at least they have a solid idea of where you're going or what you're going to do. I mean, they knew he was going to take the ball and go shoot. A point guard that shot more times than he did assists. That was Allen Iverson. I mean, that's the goddamn truth. You can't deny it. I don't know if he figured it out at the end of his career that he can't do it, but he also said he's not a – just like Kobe's saying right now. Kobe's saying if he comes back and is a 15- or 19-point guy, he might as well retire. I understand why he said that, because he has been so dominant in his career. But 19 points is pretty daggone good to have with X amount of rebounds and still make your teammates better. That's Kobe Bryant with Bubba Chuck, as they like to call him back in D.C. Allen Iverson is the, for me, and this is just me speaking, the usherer of the meat era of the NBA player. I don't know how you feel about that, JT, but you can talk about it for a minute, then we'll get to the other person who I feel is the me era, but in a different sport.
I don't know about that, if he was the person that ushered that in. I just think that he had that I hate to say it like this, but I got to say it like this because this is how it is. He had that ghetto mentality. He had that survival. He had that survival mentality. Let me put it that way, being from coming from a rough environment. He had that survival mentality. And a lot of players.
Which isn't bad, but it depends on how you
well, a lot of players. Now, look, just try to pull these two things together. Coming from a survival type of environment, like Allen Iverson and a lot of other players that are in the NBA, and I hate to tie it like this, but I'm gonna have to because the fact is, I think, and I just thought about it, and I think it comes hand in hand. Being considered a roughneck, being considered a one of those dudes that you don't want to mess with. I think, and if I'm not mistaken, and I could be wrong, and if you'll probably correct me if I'm wrong, being one of the persons that had multiple tattoos coming into the league, which brings a gangster type of attitude, along with the survival type of attitude, which. When he came in, I think, I'm not exactly sure if the gangster rap was hot and heavy then or that whole genre was around at the time. So there was a whole change in society, not necessarily Allen Iverson at the forefront of that, but there was a whole change, a change in society with multiple tattoos, the gangster type of attitude, and the hard, or the edge type of attitude from especially basketball players. It's moved over into the football players and a little bit into baseball, but I think basketball was at the forefront of that.
Well, I think that the me era, I mean, within sports, but mainly in basketball, came about because of that generation of basketball player, Allen Iverson being the guy that I think stuck out the most because he took that team on his back all the way to the finals. He had a little help, but there wasn't much help. Larry Brown tried his best to work with him, and some other people tried to as well, but at the same time, it was him. It was all about him, and that's the part that really shines out or stands out in who Allen Iverson is to me. Because, yeah, the long shorts, you know, stuff like that. That was his era, you know, the different attitude, the attitude era, so to speak, you know. I'm not going to say it was a bad thing for the NBA, but it wasn't the best thing for the NBA. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You follow what I'm saying? And, you know, David Stern had to adjust to it because he saw the change happening as well. And he had to let some things go and he had to talk about some things. But there's a difference in who is representing the NBA as opposed to what they do off the court. Not too many people are going to let Allen Iverson be that representation of them for long because it gives you the notion that you're going to come in, you're going to do whatever it is you want to do and get away with it. That's all about that dress code because you brought up the way they dress. You know, David Stern implemented that dress code. A lot of it had to do with the way Allen and the basketball players of his generation were dressing and behaving. He didn't want to associate the thug life or whatever it is you want to call it with the NBA. You mentioned the tattoos and all that other stuff. I mean, there were negative connotations with it, even though they might not have meant anything other than what Allen Iverson wanted them to mean.
Mm-hmm.
But the outsider saw it as something different. I think we got my cousin on the line. I'm going to bring him in real quick and finish up this conversation. And then we're going to move on to Ryan Braun. Let me bring him in. Mike, you on the line?
Yeah, I'm here. I hear you. I hear you over there, Conan.
Oh, see, come on, man.
Come on
Mike. Come on, Mikel. Why?
Yeah, man.
Why?
Yeah.
No,
I mean,
no.
Allen Iverson single-handedly changed the NBA. He changed the NBA.
That's what we're talking about.
Right, but I mean, from what I hear from you is you talking about how, you know, the NBA wanted to shy away from, you know, the whole thug look or whatever. It ain't gone nowhere. Cornrows.
It's changed
tats,
a little.
It has not changed. It has not changed. What has changed is, I mean, you expect basketball players to be tatted up now. You know
right.
what I'm saying? Before Allen Iverson, there was hardly any players that came on the floor
that's what we're saying.
He brought a different attitude toward the NBA, whether it was
right.
negative or positive to whoever it was a different change. He brought the long
right.
shorts, hanging off your pants, all the tats, the cornrows and stuff. That's what he brought to the NBA, and a lot of people aren't going to remember him for his ability to take a team by himself to the championship, but they'll remember the All About Me. They'll remember the interview. They'll remember everything revolved around Allen Iverson, the me generation. That's what I was saying. I didn't say the guy didn't have talent.
Yeah, but that's what signifies this generation.
Yes.
We just popped off the cap of that stuff. I mean, because that's been going on for a long time. That's our generation. If you don't know that generation, that's ours.
I know that.
Right. Mr. I ain't even going to do it. Go ahead.
Don't go there, Mikel.
You always want to jump on me because I messed with his name. And I have nothing. I've done nothing. I didn't call him buffoonery or nothing. But I'm always a bad guy because I don't say
No.
I think Jerry going to defend you today. Shut up. Let him talk.
Yes, exactly.
Even when you're defending me, you're being negative.
What we were talking about, I was agreeing with you because the fact is, I even said it that he brought in the tats, he brought in the attitude to the NBA, and I didn't say anything about the hair, but I mean that's part of the package anyway. So it's just the fact is a lot, and because it brought. Another phase of Black America in front of white America who
majority of the fans
that are watching NBA is white America. So now Allen Iverson is bringing the attitude that he comes the neighborhood where he comes from, and the neighborhood where a lot of these black athletes come from. He brought that to the NBA, and it turned off a lot of people who are fans in arenas and watching NBA, which was white America, because now this is us. And I'm not disparaging you, Vic. I'm just saying.
I know what you're saying. I can agree with you, but I can also disagree with you. I think we got Ricky on the line. But I'm going to disagree with you in this aspect. He didn't represent me. That's not the way I was. He represented a segment. He represented a segment of the black community. And that's the part that a lot of people that watch the NBA, and a lot of them weren't white. There were a lot of whites, but mainly it was black.
And you know why?
You
know why I called you Coonin? That's why I said you Coonin?
Oh, my God.
Because you keep marginalizing. No, you know, listen to me. Because you keep marginalizing what somebody's saying when you say something like that. I get it. He's not you. But you lived in a neighborhood where there was dudes that was like that. So you knew that where they was coming from. That's what it boiled down to.
Right.
That has nothing to do. Well, you know, let me bring Ricky in because, I mean, that, again.
Because up until this day, and the majority of people that watch NBA and are in NBA arenas, is white America, plain and simple. I'm gonna put it right out there. It's white America, and when you see somebody, when you see someone, especially if it's a black, somebody of African American heritage, with a different look that white America is not used to, or is has a hard time accepting, it can be a turnoff, and it can be it can bring negative connotations from that segment of people.
Exactly.
No one is debating that. Let me bring Rick in because I have another point, but I got to get to Ryan Braun. But I believe this is Rick. I'm gonna bring him in. Call from 202. Please state your name.
What's going on, fellas? How y'all feel?
What's up, Ricky?
What's going on?
So you've been listening to this conversation about AI a little bit.
A little bit. I don't know if I even want to touch it.
Well, here's how it started. Here's how it started, and I was trying to keep it in that arena. But I asked Jerry, since, you know, AI had decided to put his paperwork in to officially retire, does it belong in the NBA? He said yes. I also agree with him. But then I said I didn't agree with a lot of the things that he did on and off the court, and he brought in a new era of basketball, meaning the me era. And then we got into the tattoos and the look of the urban or the black athlete coming into, you know, the NBA and stuff like that. But what are your thoughts on Allen Iverson going to possibly going to the Hall of Fame and his impact on the game of basketball in the NBA?
Well, I mean, he definitely changed the culture of the game itself. You know, just like I heard Mike say and Jerry, a lot of stuff that went on wasn't going on before he got there. Even when Jordan was there, even when Johnson was there, and Isaiah, you know what I'm saying? Allen Iverson brought, and I hate to say it like this, but he brought more of a hood mentality to the NBA.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? He brought a hood mentality to the NBA, which, in a sense, is not all bad because it opened up doors for people, and you hate to look at it like that. But truthfully, that's what it did. It opened up doors for a lot of other people. And, you know, him going in the Hall of Fame, I don't know if his stats would, I guess you could say, promote him to that. They're probably going to go ahead and put him in there because he did bring a new culture to the NBA. But at the same time, I don't know if his stats would back that up. Now, a lot of stuff he did in the NBA, it changed that game. It definitely changed that game. So if you're looking at that sense, Yeah, they're definitely he definitely deserves to be in there because he changed it. You know what I'm saying? Those that's like who can you say? I don't want to say RG3 because there were so many before him. Randall Cunningham, actually. That's like Cunningham. Cunningham.
No, Tarkenton. You can go back to Fran Tarkenton.
You can say that.
They were running quarterbacks.
Right. You can go back to them. They brought a new definition to whatever sport they played in. And when they bring that definition to the sport, if you looking at that, yeah, they definitely deserve to be in there because that's like somebody coming in and changing a community. You know, they say one man can't build a nation, which is false to me. It's definitely false. But Allen Iverson, I don't know. I don't know if he should even be in the Hall of Fame, you know, because he did a lot of stuff that was right, but at the same time, he did a lot of stuff that wasn't.
Well, there's a lot of players. There's a lot of players in all sports that done a lot that done things that are wrong.
Yeah.
But
no bull.
Now if you
no
just listen
doubt.
To Rick, if you just listen to what you said, you contradicted yourself because you said he changed the game.
He did.
Most players that play in whatever specific sport they play in and change the game.
No,
are
he
in the
changed,
Hall of Fame.
But he
no,
changed
in the Hall of Fame.
He
if
changed the
change,
culture
if,
of the
well,
game.
No, he changed the culture, and he also changed I think the way the position was played, in my opinion.
You talking about the number two?
Well, he was a combination of number one, number two. He wasn't specifically a number two.
See,
so,
I'm not – when it comes to that, I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about as far as how an NBA player is depicted. Before Iverson got there, the shorts weren't as long. The headbands and the tattoos, you didn't see that.
Right.
When Iverson got there –
don't forget the cornrows.
And the cornrows, right.
Exactly.
When Iverson
exactly.
got there, that's what I mean. He changed the way an NBA player is looked at. You see what I'm saying? It's not
mm-hmm.
even just the color, black and white.
Mm-hmm.
No, because you got – look at Birdman. My God. I think he has more – I think he has the most tattoos out of everybody in the NBA right now.
I will say this because we got to move on. We got to move on. Bottom line is, I think, and Gary agrees with me, that Allen Iverson can go or should go to Hall of Fame because he did change the game. The
mm-hmm.
perception of change is the question that we're talking about. And, you know, I'll leave that up to the writers and to all those who have a vote. He didn't change the position of a point guard. He did not, because he was not a point guard, but he played the position of point guard. He was
a shooting like
guard playing point guard.
Yeah.
And you can say that. You can say that. But, you know, the fact is that the man impacted the game in a way that brought about change. And the definition of a Hall of Famer in any sport is that they impacted a game in such a way that it
yep.
super, I mean, it exceeds the way every other player plays in that sport. And he did that. Whether it was for the better or the worse or whatever the case may be, he did make an impact. But check this out, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to step away for a quick second. When we come back, I want to know what is everybody's thoughts on the Ryan Braun.
I'm going to get it, Rick. Okay.
Sit and stay.
If you want to add a little spice to your talk radio, try No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Arguably, No Chaser is the most, shall we say, controversial show in the lineup. Let me give you a couple of direct quotes. If LeBron took a shit in the middle of the street in broad daylight, his Boy Scouts would say it's the greatest one ever. Here's another. Y'all dumb donkeys keep believing what Obama says. Just watch. This country is going to get worse, and I'm just going to sit back and say, I told you so. I can only assume this is why the show is called No Chaser. You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. It's No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor. Information, motivation, variety. If you're into fantasy sports, you're going to love the Fantasy Sports Show with host Victor Gardner and co-host Jerry and Black every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. This show is so hot, I can only play the intro. Fantasy Sports and Politics. You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The Fantasy Sports Show. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back on the show. It's, an hour left in the show. Still got to do our AFC West predictions. We're going to talk about that. But before we do that, if you want to call in, you can dial 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. We're going to jump right into the next topic of conversation. I don't know if you guys heard or even read the Ryan Braun apology.
Yeah, I think we did it on Thursday.
Okay. I'm going to say this. The guy got up there and was throwing people under the bus left and right when he got... When the decision got overturned. Not humble at all. Not one bit of humility. So when he sends out this letter, it doesn't seem contrite. It just seems like it's something he had to write in order to get people off of his back. In the letter, he also states he wants to apologize to the guy that collected the sample and all that other stuff. But he fell short of saying, "I'm sorry for getting fired." Because if he did that, the guy can sue him for defamation of character and all that stuff. He still might even sue him for it because he caused him his job and some other stuff. And this kid is like very just like, "Well, you know, I lied to my friends, I lied to my family, I did this, da 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 da. I started believing my own lies." Okay. You did, whatever. But where's that bravado and all that stuff now that you got caught in your lie? You're not talking to the public. You're not making any speeches. I just thought it was just one of the worst things he could have done is to put a letter out as opposed to at least coming out, stating this stuff, and then not taking any questions afterwards. I want to get your thoughts on it. I'm going to start with you, Jerry.
Well, I expressed my opinion on this on Thursday, and I'll do it again. And I'll put it out bluntly. I think he punked out. And I think the organization of the Brewers bought into this okey-doke because they released a statement. It was released by the Brewers. Rather than come out in public in front of cameras, and and you're right, even if he didn't say anything, answer any freaking questions, but he needed to come out. And not through a statement, but come out publicly in front of microphones and cameras and give his statement. And he's getting off, in my opinion, light as hell compared to A-Rod. This is an absolute abomination. I can't believe that the organization of Brewers actually would let him release his statement through them. It boggles my mind. He punked out big time, and I think this guy's not A-Rod. I think this guy's one of the biggest slime ball in this biogenesis thing. So,
I agree.
Plain and simple. Plain and simple.
All right. What's the thing, Rick?
He ain't no different than Mark McGuire and what's the other dude? The one that testified.
Rafael Palmeiro?
Palmeiro, he ain't no different than none of them. He's a bum. That's all it is to it. He did it because he lied because he wanted to stay on the team. Now they caught him, and now he want to issue an apology. Just why not admit to this in the beginning? I don't understand that. All these players do the same thing. I didn't do it. I didn't take it. And then later on, when they get caught, that's when they want to issue an apology. This is just like Jerry said. It's a punk move. Why did you do it like that? Why you just didn't say nothing from the jump about it? Like, I'm just now reading the apology, and he say, over the last year and a half, I made some serious mistakes, both in the information I failed to share during my arbitration hearing and the comments I made to the press. He disappointed people closest to him, the ones that fought for him, because they truly believed him all along. He knew he did it, but he just wanted to make everybody think he didn't. Why not just say something in the beginning? Everybody know baseball is a dirty sport right now. They want to clean it up, but as long as everybody's still doing what he did and everybody before him did, it ain't never going to get clean. These people released it through them because they want him to get off so they can win. When the last time Milwaukee won a championship? I don't know. Just like the Cubs.
Well, okay. I'm going to bring this to Mike because I think it's a good question. You know, a lot of these guys, they juice up or do whatever it is in a contract year.
I know what Mike's going to say.
Or after they got that big contract because they feel the pressure. And, yeah, I know his stance on it, too. Like, he's like, well, you don't see no problem with the porn science and drug stuff. But my thought or my question to you, Mike, is, you know, with the big grandiose, you know, denial and he was acquitted of it or found not guilty of it, and then he comes back and just releases a statement after he's been caught. How do you feel about that, and what are your thoughts about that?
I don't care. I really don't. I really don't care because there's bigger fish to fry. See, while we up here sitting up here discussing him, and A-Rod or whoever is the jerk du jour of the time is, Major League Baseball is still going. They are still going. They are still implementing the same bullshit that they've been infiltrating for the past years. You know what I mean? Canseco came out with his book in, what, 2005? This is 2013, man. When are people going to wake up? When you going to wake up and see this, man? This is the whole A-Rod thing is a farce to me. This Braun thing, it's a farce to me. It's a farce. You know, and the more time you spend, you know, analyzing what this dude should have did and what he should have said and he was a punk and this and this and that, that's less shots you taking at MLB. They need to be taking the hit for this because they knew all this stuff was going on. And they could clean it up quickly.
Okay, now,
but you know why they won't?
I agree.
You know why they won't?
Making money.
You know why they won't?
It.
Exactly. And that's the same reason why that boy did what he did. So am I mad at him? No. Am I mad at A-Rod? No. Because the cycle is going to continue. It's going to continue. Us sitting up here, you know what I'm saying, pointing the finger and blaming him and calling him these types, that ain't going to do nothing. It ain't going to stop. Young is going to play next year.
No one's blaming him. No one's blaming him. The issue is, I don't – here's the big crux of it. All right. He found out that he was, you know, acquitted of those charges or those charges against him were released. He went out and made this big old grandstand statement about pointing the finger at everybody else but himself, knowing all along that he did this. That's the issue. The issue isn't whether or not he that players are taking form-passing drugs. The issue that I'm bringing up here is whether or not, you know, all this grandiose finger pointing that he did, why couldn't he be a bigger man and come out and just make the statement instead of issuing a written statement? That's what I'm talking about. I could care less right now about, you know, Major League Baseball getting their stuff together, Braun getting stuff together. It's more of a humility and being, you know, a person that
I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying, and I get where you're coming from. You know, I don't think like that. You know what I mean? I understand as a man and as a human being, you're going to make mistakes and you're going to do things for certain reasons. Now, I explained to you, right? I explained to you why he did it. So I understand why he did it. Doesn't mean I don't have an issue with humility or respect. I have a great understanding of it. You see what I'm saying? But what I'm saying to you is he has done nothing different than MLB has done. And as long as we keep focusing on that stuff, we playing in the small league, we doing what the MLB wants you to do, is what I'm saying. Because the MLB did the same thing while all that
Got
stuff
it.
Was going on, Sosa
yep.
and all them other folks. They was
yep.
pointing fingers all over the place, right?
I got it.
Before Congress and said, oh, we got a problem. We need to clean it up. When the big boys got involved. So, no, I don't see no different in him than them. Only thing is he's smaller, they bigger. So who I'm going to be looking at? I'm going to be looking at the bigger.
Well, I'm
going to
move on
because
to the
Their actions dictate his and dictate all this nonsense.
However, I think that Ryan Braun, whether he's one of 100, because it was 100 folks, right, Jerry?
Yep.
That came out on
100. And they only mentioned these handful.
I know they're top moneymakers. Whether he's one of 100 or if he's one of one, for me, the way I look at things, whether it's MLB or him or whoever, if you're going to be boisterous about whatever it is that you did or did not do, be the same way. Be consistent. That's about be consistent. And, you know, that's the crux for me. We're going to move off of this subject matter because we're coming up on 50 minutes, well, no, 48 minutes left of the show, and we have a whole division to talk about. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, what I want to do is talk about some football. And when I do that, I got to play this.
No! Carrying the ball 20 times a game requires power and valor, not niftiness. The water bug and whippet backs rarely survive the wail and howl of the banshee. Stacked defenses in the pros. They must meld the butt of a billy goat with the sudden surge of a sprinter. He does not move with polish or slickness. His method is not Grand Prix, but Demolition Derby.
Demolition Derby. Ladies and gentlemen, it's me, Mrs. Atmosphere. He's trying to get down with the AFC West. So, as we normally do here, we're going to talk about who we think is going to come in where and the importance of their team. Now, I've got a tie for the last place team in the AFC West. Some people might agree. Some people might not. But I'm going to start with Oakland Raiders.
Do we really have to?
That's messed up.
Well, they're in the West, so we got to start with them.
Go right ahead. Go ahead.
According to Sports Illustrated Fantasy Football Edition, enemy lines. Wait, why the coach said the Raiders needed a quarterback with a little bit more mobility. Carson Palmer was getting stalemated. Now, Matt Flynn gives them more ability to run their offense. They rely on their running game. Darren McFadden is fast, physical, a real tough guy with speed, not afraid to get hit, not afraid to hit. You can see when someone makes an interception against the Raiders, he's the first one trying to knock his head off and tackle. Marcel Reese is more of a fullback, but they put him on the wide, put him out wide sometimes, and it creates matchup problems. Rashad Jennings is not a number one guy, but he is solid as a backup. He can come in there and spell McFadden some, and McFadden has a tendency to get hurt. They got rid of Darius Haywood Bay, a fast guy. Denarius Moore is going to be the main guy. they go to because he's got speed. He occasionally drops some balls, but he's a top-notch receiver. Most of the Raiders receivers have speed and limited hands, but Moore has hands and speed. Rod Streeter is going to get a lot of production because everyone's going to be concentrating on Moore. If Jerron Freeman bounces back from his hip injury, then he could be pretty good. If he struggles the first part of the year, teams have a tendency of getting away from a person who's struggling going in with the hot guy. The Raiders picked up Bryce Butler in the draft, and he should definitely add depth in the receiving corps. He might be a good late-round fantasy pick if he and Flynn hook up. They drafted Nick Casa and Michael Rivera, so they'll probably go into more of a two-tight-end offense to create guessing game for opposing defenses. The sleeper's Rashad Jennings, but after all that, the bust is Denarius Moore. I want to mention something about one of their draft picks. I believe it was this year. They drafted a kid that had open heart surgery, Mr. Hayden. I believe it was this year, with the 12th overall pick. That's a bold move. Now, I like Rollo McKenzie, former Washington Redskin. His brother Raleigh was former Redskin. Great pedigree there, but I don't know about that pick. I know that kid is solid, but I don't know about that pick. But based on what I just read, Jerry, what do you think about this coach's synopsis of the Oakland Raiders?
Well, the Oakland Raiders got a lot of issues, a lot of issues. It surprised me yesterday how they played, especially when I was really surprised with Terrell Pryor playing. Matt Flynn looked inept, to say the least, yesterday. So, this is a very muddled, and it seemed like to me that the attitude of the team picked up immensely when Terrell Pryor took over for Matt Flynn. So the second year coach has got a dilemma on his hands, and it may be that Matt Flynn's going to have deja vu all over again. That means that someone's going to take his job away from him,
so
that he thought he had when he signed a nice contract. So even though Terrell Pryor is a very inaccurate quarterback, it may be because he's got a better skill set with the addition of running, being able to run the ball and escape pressure will force him to go and play the quarterback position for the Oakland Raiders. But the Raiders have a lot of issues, defense and really especially on offense. A lot of question marks that probably will get answered real quick in the early part of the season on which way they're going to go, which I think is no place to go but down, put it that way.
Well, I think they're going to be the bottom of the barrel, but I agree with you. I think Terrell Pryor is actually going to take the job probably by week two or three. He'll have the job before the bye week, in my opinion. Now, that also means, and I have the 12th pick in the draft. That sucks, but I'm okay with that. Anyway.
Oh, you're in there already?
I don't mind being 12. I'm cool with that. I think that Terrell Pryor is going to take that job because the NFL is moving toward that more mobile quarterback. Terrell's prior issue is his consistency to get rid of the ball and get it to the right person. That's his main issue. So hopefully when he gets his opportunity, he'll take it and shine. Because remember, that kid from Arkansas, he isn't that bad, actually. He's sitting in the wings waiting for both of these guys to fail. All right, Rick, what you got on this on Oakland Raiders? Rick?
Did he fall asleep?
It's like a waste of breath for me to talk about these dudes, man. This is a contract year for McFadden, so I'm looking for him to do big things.
Good luck with that really, offensive line. Good luck.
Yeah, but I mean, when has McFadden ever had a line? You know what I'm saying? He's never really had a line, but at the same time, that does tell us why he hasn't even played a 16-game season in a while either. Just like you said, I do expect Terrell Pryor, for some odd reason, I expect him to take the starting job before the bye week. I'm surprised they even got a Monday night game on their schedule, which is just amazing to me. But I'll give them – their schedule is for them. You know what I'm saying? For anybody else, it's easy. But for them, it's hard. So I can't even give them six good wins out of this schedule because they just don't – their team is just sad right now. They just need – it's something holding them back. I don't know what it is, but
– quarterback.
I don't even think that's it. I mean, you brought in Carson Palmer. The offense sucked. You brought in who else
was
out there?
That's what I'm saying, Rick. That's what I'm saying, because the offensive line is not that great. You're gonna need somebody.
No, I'm talking about the system. I ain't even talking about the line. The system when Palmer was there sucked. His Jackson system sucked. They just sucked.
Let me put it this way. I think the reason it sucked is because the guy that they had there last year had a zone blocking scheme, which was totally what Darren McFadden can't do.
Right.
He's in the power blocking scheme, and that's what he's used to, and he runs better like that. So that offense was completely discombobulated, screwed up, and when they got out of here, hopefully they got rid of him, and now they got put back to the power running scheme, and hopefully – and I kind of doubt it, but there's hope in Oakland that they can get back to him running the ball effectively because it suits his skill set running wise. And
I think he's going to have a good year.
And help him block. And plus the fact is last year the wide receivers were real young wide receivers, and Carson Palmer really had a hard time with his wide receivers because either they were hurt or they were inconsistent in their route running.
Right.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
I don't know what y'all see.
We're going to get Mike in here, but right now you're looking at, like the article said, you have guys with speed, but very little hands. Now, Denarius Moore can go up and get the ball, and he's very fast, but he's inconsistent. But he's their best receiver.
That's not sad.
Exactly. So that means if you want to do well, you better put Terrell Pryor in because you know he's going to run. He's going to at least keep the defense honest and then set up plays for the tight ends. They drafted two tight ends, stuff down the seams in the middle of the field. If those guys are speed, cool. Let them get the one-on-one. Let them get the DBs. But you're not going to do that putting Matt Flynn in there. You're not going to do that. Mike, you got any thoughts on the Raiders?
This team sucks.
Yes.
This team absolutely sucks. This team is an abomination to the NFL, the No Fun League. Absolutely. I watched that tape this morning, and I was absolutely disgusted watching the whole thing. The coaching just looks horrible, and I hate to say that for a former Redskin alum, but they look terrible. Matt Flynn is disgusting. He was throwing the ball to everybody. The wide receivers, when they would jump up and catch the ball, they was getting hurt. Yo, this team sucks. They really need to start Terrell Pryor. They don't need to wait for the bye week. They don't need to wait for none of that. They need to go ahead and start him week one. And even if they do that, they only gonna win four games this year. You know, because I gotta give them any given Sunday, Rick. Every Sunday is any given Sunday, so I gotta give them. I gotta say four.
I want you to look at their schedule
I'm going to look at it.
Go ahead, Vic.
All right, here we go. All right. At Indianapolis, Jacksonville,
lost.
At Denver.
Lost.
Okay.
Lost.
Listen. Washington, San Diego, at Kansas City. Then they have
That's
a bye.
A win.
There's a bye week. Pittsburgh, Philly. At the Giants, at Houston, Tennessee, at Dallas, at the Jets, Kansas City, at San Diego, Denver. Now, I'm going to give my thoughts on this. With Blaine Gabbert being the quarterback, they're going to beat Jacksonville, so that's one win.
No, they're not.
San Diego. They're going to beat San Diego. That's two wins. Then they're going to lose all the way until they come back down to the Jets. That's a third win. Then they just might. They just might beat San Diego for a second time. That's four wins. I give them four wins out of the entire season with the possibility, depending on what goes on with Pittsburgh's backfield, with a possibility of a fifth surprise win. But Indianapolis is going to kill them. Denver's going to kill them. Skins are going to kill them. Kansas City's going to beat them twice. And that normally doesn't happen. Normally they split. But I think Andy Reid's going to have them playing pretty good by that time and just beat these boys. I think the Jets are just going to be abysmal. Tennessee's going to be better than some people think, and I think Tennessee will beat them. But other than that, they're going to lose all those other games, in my opinion. So real quick, what you got, Jerry?
I have them 3-13, and just a little side note. Just a little side note. I read an article somewhere, and I forget exactly where I read it online, that was stated, and I think it was from a source from the Oakland Raiders, that Matt Flynn cannot throw the ball accurately 25 yards down the field.
I agree.
What?
I believe that.
Oh, my God.
All right.
That's how bad that is.
Oh, my God. My son is 3 years old. I give him an accurate 10 yards. And you mean 15 extra yards Matt Flynn can't hit?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
He's got a pop gun arm, man.
I'm giving them six. And the reason why I say
that,
I'm serious. They're going to be at the bottom, but I'm giving them six because when it comes to the division games, for some reason, Oakland, and this is in the history, Oakland always shows up for division games. They always split with Kansas City. So I'm not even giving them two straight losses to them. I'm giving them a split on Kansas City. And just because of how bad I believe the Chargers are going to be this year, I'm giving them a split on the Chargers. That's two. That's two wins right there. I don't want to say they're going to beat Jacksonville, but at the same time, their best receiver is going to be suspended for the first four games. So I'm going to give them that as a win. And like you say, the Jets are going to be – they're going to suck also. So that'll be four wins. And I'm giving them two surprise wins. One, believe it or not, is going to be – against the New York Giants. I hate to say that, but somehow they're going to do that. And the other one.
Wow.
The other one I have to give, I think they could string together two in a row because by this time Terrell Pryor is going to be the quarterback. Yeah. I don't know why.
That ain't going to happen.
That'll be two in a row. I'm telling you, Darren McFadden, I seriously believe Darren McFadden may make 16 games. This is his contract year. He may make it.
We got some bad water out here, y'all.
Hey, I'm not going to lie to you. It's bad, but I grew up on this water.
Wow.
I just think six games.
Okay.
Well,
let me ask you this real quick, Rick. We gotta move on. Hurry up.
Yeah.
We gotta move on.
Let me ask you, where would you draft Darren McFadden? Because since you're talking about him.
First of all, I'm not gonna draft that dude.
Okay.
I'm gonna try not to draft that dude.
Ricky, I'm gonna remind you this today at Buffalo Wild Wings when we're
if
drafting.
I had look,
Darren McFadden.
Let me say this, and this is gonna be on record, just like when I fell asleep. It's on record that I sleep. On my off days, I am not going to draft Darren McFadden unless I have to.
Okay.
Period. That's how it goes.
Let's move on. We're going to go to the next team who I think is actually going to be in a tie. That tells you what I think. If not below the Oakland Raiders, that's San Diego Chargers. They just look terrible. Everything is wrong with their offense. Everything. I don't even need to read what the enemy line says, but I'm going to do it anyway. All right, what a rival coach says, enemy line, San Diego's offense will be very comparable to what Mike McCoy did in Denver as offensive coordinator. But he doesn't have Peyton Manning, so it don't matter. he'll try to have the Chargers be a little more up tempo. I just don't know if they'll have it as good as Denver was. Phillip Rivers is a very accurate, capable quarterback, but he's on the downside of his career. His weakness is his inability to escape pressure. He's not a very mobile quarterback, and that's not going to change. He's not getting faster, so they'll need to protect him. The best way they can help him is by having a strong running game, which they don't. I think they want Ryan Matthews to be a featured back. Unfortunately for him, he hasn't stayed healthy. He hasn't gone through any of their seasons yet where he hasn't missed games because of some issues. It's tough to put your money on a guy like that because he's not durable. They're hedging their bets with Danny Woodhead and Ronnie Brown. And they're saying we have to have some other backs who are proven in the NFL if Matthews ends up on the sideline. Denario Alexander, who just got hurt down from season, has deceptive speed. Well, I'm not even going to read that part because he's not even playing this year. Malcolm Floyd is a good receiver for them, probably in some respects their number one guy. But Antonio Gates, 5 to 7 years ago, you thought, holy mackerel, who are we going to put on him? He's still a big part of what they do, but I don't know if people defending him fear him like they used to. You feel more comfortable putting linebackers and safeties on him. Now, I believe Eddie Royal is on the team. No, Eddie is not on the team.
He's there, but he's hurt.
Yeah, but he has a good opportunity of doing something than some of these other cats. But right now, they're saying the sleeper is Denario Alexander, which is incorrect because he's hurt for the season, and the bust is Phillip Rivers. Here's my deal, guys. I don't even want to spend that much time on the Chargers because after seeing, like, their first couple of preseason games, Phillip Rivers got sacked, like, 4 times in every game, up the middle or off the left side. No running game, no proven receiver. This is going to probably be a 0-16 team.
No.
Probably.
No.
Get it.
No, probably.
Oh, no.
I can only see them. Who do I think they're going to beat on their schedule? I'll go down their schedule right now. Houston, Philly, Tennessee. Well, let me do it right. Houston, at Philly, at Tennessee.
They're going to beat Philly.
At Oakland, Indianapolis, at Jacksonville, they're going to have a bye week. At Washington, Denver, at Miami, at Kansas City, Cincinnati, the Giants, at Denver, Oakland, Kansas City. They're not going to win any one of those games. If they do, it'll be at Jacksonville. That'll be the only game they win.
Are you kidding me?
I'll let you go. Go ahead.
Trust me, I don't even want to talk about them because they look as bad as the Raiders do. But a lot of the reasons why they do is because they got so many injuries out there. Just like you said, when they hired Mike McCoy, I swore this was the commentator that I kept watching that they hired as a coach. I was like, what? Why? What does he know? He doesn't know anything, but this is a different dude. They don't have anything. You can't count on your number one pick from a couple years back, which was Ryan Matthews, and you got to shuffle in Ronnie Brown, whose knees have left him a long time ago. I have them being in a tie with Oakland. If anything, they lose one game less than Oakland.
What?
But I'm sure I have them either 6-10 or 5-11, but I don't have them just being 1-something.
Okay.
That's not possible.
Okay,
it's not going to happen.
Real quick. Give me their 5 wins, Rick.
Jacksonville's 1.
Okay.
I'll say Tennessee. That's 2. Oakland would be 3. Just like I said, they're going to split.
Okay.
Oakland will be 3. I do have to agree with Mike on the Eagles, even though I do have a higher expectation for the Eagles. But the Eagles, that'll be 4 because it's early in the season. And the Chiefs, because like I said, they're going to split. So that'll be 5. The Broncos, they're going to get swept. Huh?
So the Broncos are sweeping.
No, they're going to get swept by the Broncos. They're going to split with the Chiefs and the Raiders. The Raiders, for some reason, always show up in certain division games. They've always done it. Same thing with the Chargers. They're gonna split. So that's 2 wins right there.
You remember that Oakland only won 6 games, and it was all in
the division. All right, Mike, you're up. Go ahead. What do you got for the Chargers?
Yeah, I think this team will win at least 5 games. I think this team is going to be a little bit better than Oakland, but not by much.
No.
I got them at 4 wins. I got the Chargers at 5. I think Kansas City and I think they're going to win. And then the other 2 games, they may take Jacksonville and they may take Philly.
Okay, I disagree, but JT, you're up. Jerry.
Is he still online?
He ain't sleeping. All right, well, we're going to pass Jerry because I think Jerry is busy doing something.
I'm here. Okay. Offense is in transition. They're pretty much going to a short passing game, which that's a big transition from North Turner, which likes to throw the ball down the field. And that means Phillip Rivers has to change his mindset. The offensive line has to change their mindset on how they do the blocking. And I still don't think that Ryan Matthews is an effective runner. And they do still have issues on the defense. With all that being said, I still think they're going to win at least 5 games, just like Ricky said. And he almost verbatim called out the win like I saw him. 5-11, that's how I see him.
I disagree. When you have the 5th pick in the draft, so just to let you know that.
Yeah,
anyway.
Hey. It's all good. It's all good. It's all
anyway,
good.
Anyway, one of my classmates said he might be calling in because he's a golf guy. He's a stats guy, and he's probably going to call in a little bit. But we're headed for the end of the show. Hopefully, he gives his thoughts on it. But let's move on to Kansas City Chiefs. All right, ladies and gentlemen. What a rival coach has to say. Enemy line. Last year, the Chiefs had the best skill positions of any around, and they had a defense, so they just needed a quarterback. Alex Smith is going to do nothing but elevate all of those guys to play. We go into the Kansas City game last year and say, okay, which game changer are we going to stop? Well, we can't stop this guy because that guy might hurt us. Oh, well, we'll just play basic defense because the quarterback can't get them the ball anyway. That's insulting. This year, there's not that problem. Smith doesn't have a strong arm, but he's an accurate thrower, a veteran guy. He's going to be a leader. Jamal Charles' receptions are going to pick up coming up the backfield. New coach Andy Reid is very smart. He's going to give guys the ball who are going to make plays like Charles, Dexter McCluster, and Dwayne Bowe. Those 3 guys are going to get their fill of the football. Sean Drone and Cyrus Gray will probably have a limited role in the offense just because the Chiefs have so many weapons. Niall Davis will mainly be a return guy until he learns the offense. He's not a good fantasy pick this year. I see Bo as a 1,000-yard guy easily now that he has a quarterback. Donnie Avery is going to be a great number 2 guy. His production is going to come when teams double-team Bo. McCluster is dynamite. He can run out the backfield. You can spread him out as a receiver. You can have Charles and McCluster in there at the same time. It's going to be scary for defenses, and I agree with that, actually. Tony Moriaki and Anthony Fasano production might pick up a little because Reed likes to spread the ball around, but they're not a tight end-based team. Sleeper, and I agree with this. What I was told was Fasano was going to pick the draft from Moriaki, Anthony Fasano. The bust, and he seems like has been a bust so far in his career, is John Baldwin. I don't know if it's because he hasn't.
He's not there anymore.
Long term.
He's not there anymore.
Okay, yeah, he's gone to San Fran.
Yeah.
They got A.J. Jenkins now. A.J.
Right.
Jenkins is in Kansas City.
Trade?
Yes.
Yeah, they made that trade. Okay.
Yes.
All right, I didn't know that. Thanks for the heads up on that. Well, I
should have left it alone so you
out.
Could draft him.
Yeah,
that
that's right.
Help bowling out.
No. I'm in our leagues. I'm gonna nickname Vic Oakland Raiders.
Oh really? Is that why I'm the champion?
You're going to be like one of the teams in the NFC South, from first to last.
You know what? I'm going to be either New Orleans or I'm going to be Atlanta, so shut up there. Okay, so with that being said, real quick, what do you guys think about Kansas City's the thought process, what this one coach had to say about Kansas City? I'm going to go Mike, Jerry, Ricky. Mike, are you there?
Oh, I didn't know you said me first.
Yeah.
I didn't hear you.
Yeah.
Well, this team, in my opinion, is the second place by default. Andy Reid, he should get that. He should be able to get that offense serviceable. I don't know how good he's going to be able to make it. I don't know too much about Kansas City's defense, so can't comment on that. But this team definitely is going to be better than the Chargers and the Raiders. But I still don't see them no more than 8 wins. I can't see them no more than 8 wins. But that's enough for second place in this division.
Okay. All right. I mean, I can respect that. Go ahead, Jerry.
I'm excited to see this offense implemented through Andy Reid with the players they have, especially with one of my favorite running backs in all of football. I'm excited just to be able to watch this team play. I'm not excited about the quarterback. I've been reading things online, as always, that Alex Smith has targeted Dwayne Bowe very minimally at all. So I don't know if that's by design until the regular season, but that can send red flags up that if Dwayne Bowe's not really heavily involved in the offense, Alex Smith has notoriously been Mr. Checkdown, meaning either to the tight end or checking down to running back coming out of the backfield. So with that being said, I still think this team, and just like Mikal said, by default, they should be number two in this division, and I also see them in 8-8.
All right.
Rick. Do you all remember who Doug Peterson was?
Yeah.
Isn't he a quarterback?
He used to be a quarterback in the NFL.
Yes.
He wasn't that good.
Yes.
He wasn't too good, but that's who their offensive coordinator is. That's why I chuckled when you said Dwayne Bowe is supposed to hit 1,000 yards. Come on. I don't even remember Doug Peterson throwing 1,000 yards, even though they say that quarterbacks and offensive coordinators, you know, people do better when they're coaches than they do when they're players. I understand that. But I can't see a lot of stuff. Don't get me wrong. The Chiefs are going to be second, like you said, Mike, by default. But
right,
I am
right.
excited on the other hand because Andy Reid brings a new entity to this team that we haven't seen since Marty Schottenheimer was there. They're going to run Jamaal Charles in the ground if he hadn't got run in the ground yet. So he's going to look great. Alex Smith is not Andy Reid's type of quarterback, if you know Andy Reid. He's not his type of quarterback. So I can't see them, like, actually challenging to win the division. I'm definitely excited to see what they bring to the table, but
right.
I can't see them, like, challenging Denver to win this division because I don't think Andy Reid really has the quarterback he wants, and I don't think he has the wide out that he wants. So truthfully, I'm thinking this defense that they had last year, that's going to carry them through this season. Because that defense last year was very surprising. They're going to carry them good this year.
You know what you made me think about, Rick? This is a good job for Andy Reid.
It is, isn't it?
It's so perfect. He don't have to win.
No.
He don't have to lose.
You
know what I mean? Because the two teams below him, I can't see them getting up out that hole for at least another 3 years.
That's what it is. I would give Andy Reid this year. You know what I'm saying? This year he just has to make a change. when it comes to next year and the year after, that's where the pressure is going to come, because those other two teams are going to build. We know it.
Well,
they're going
to
build.
Well, let's say this, I guess, to the ranking. And you're right about the defense, I really believe so, because Eric Berry's healthy. Derek Johnson is great. Tamba Ali's still there, and they got some good boys on defense. It's just, will the offense be there to do it? Again, Jamaal Charles said it himself when they did the top 100 NFL players. Had he gotten the ball a few more times instead of getting like the ball once or twice in three games that he did have, he could have been close to 2,000 yards. And that was last year's team.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll be 9-7. I think they'll be 9-7. This year and second. I'm not going to say by default, but actually it is by default. So I got to agree with you on that as well. So 9-7, Ricky says 8, and Mike says 8-8. What did you say, Jerry? Did you say 8-8 as well?
8-8 nails well, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm only with 9-7.
I say the same, 8-8.
All right. I think they'll do one game better, but again, we all agree that it's going to be by default because they're going to beat up on the other two teams in their division, and there'll be some games that they'll win. Let's take it to the last team in the AFC West, and they are loaded. Problem is, who's going to play running back, in my opinion? Who's going to be that running back? But let's hear what one rival coach had to say about the enemy lines. If everyone stays healthy, I don't see how defenses can match up with the Broncos. Peyton Manning is going to find the open guy. They could go 4 or 5 wide receivers and spread everybody out and just run occasionally to keep people honest. They are stacked. Mike Ball and Willis McGahee, well, Willis isn't there anymore, could be a 1-2 punch. When the Broncos get down into the red zone in a short yard situation, they'll probably put Ball in there because he's used to running up the middle in the Big Ten. If Ronnie Hillman keeps fumbling the ball, he might get it too. I will pick up Ball. If they get 1,000 yards rushing with the receivers they have, they're going to be very hard to deal with. Peyton Manning likes Ronnie Hillman as his third down Sproles. Excuse me, back. But he's probably in pass protection. You have to put a defensive back on Wes Welker, so you have to go into your nickel package. When you do that, the Broncos have the opportunity to run the ball. Demaryius Thomas' production will pick up now that everyone has the concentration on Welker in the slot. It's huge for Denver to have Welker. He understands the offense Manning is using, is just going to have to get used to him and where he's going to be and trust him. If you need something deep, you'll go to Thomas or Eric Decker. But Welker's going to get you the tough yards. Around Manning and those receivers, Savard's team could get hot. Sometimes Manning has 3 receivers to the left or right, and then throws it back to the tight end on the other side. Joel Treason and Jacob Tannen will be very valuable also. That's what's going to be so scary about Denver. Each week, teams are going to have game plans on who to try to take away. Sleeper, Monty Ball plus Jacob Tannen or Joel Treason. These guys are going to take this division, plain and simple. Let me go down the schedule real quick, and I'll get your time. And we got 12 minutes left of live air and 12 minutes before we get this draft underway. So let's see what goes on. Baltimore at the Giants. Oakland, Philly at Dallas. Denver, Jacksonville at Indianapolis, Washington. At San Diego, Kansas City. At New England, at Kansas City. Tennessee, San Diego, at Houston, at Oakland. I'm going to say this, and y'all can say I'm wrong or I'm crazy, but after their bye week, they're only going to lose one game.
I'm done.
And that's to Houston. And that's to Houston. I want
you're
to
tripping.
And I told you guys that the Brady Bunch is not going to look good at all. And in one half of play, against Detroit no less, 4 turnovers, 3 points. Brady gets punked in the back of the end zone by some unknown Detroit Lion, who might not even make the team. The receivers dropping the ball left and right. I'm telling you, the Patriots are going down like crazy. But Denver, they're going to only lose one game in the second half, and that's to Houston. And I think they'll lose, They might lose opening game versus Baltimore, but I don't really see that happening based upon, you know what, I'm going to say it right now. I think they'll lose to Dallas. They'll lose to Dallas and probably, I think Little Brother's going to beat them. I think the Giants and
if they lose to Dallas,
Dallas,
they'll lose to the
and Houston. They'll be 13-3. That's what I got them at, 13-3. All right, here's how I wanted to go. I want to go Mike, Rick, then Jerry.
This team is definitely a bona fide Super Bowl contender. I'm looking for them to do something like 12-4. They should sweep their entire division. So that's six games off the break. Peyton Manning continuously makes me eat my words because I thought the man was done. I thought he was over. Wes Walker is just happy as a pig in Dookie out that joint. He ain't looking over his shoulder thinking about Belichick and whatnot. You know, he acted like Belichick tormented him like an abusive father or something. But, I look for this team to be 12-4, and I look for this team to at least be in the AFC Championship at the league.
I agree. Hold on, Rick. I think I got my classmate on the line, the guy from Wisconsin. He's the golfer, so I want to see what he has to say real quick. I know he's kind of loquacious, so we'll get him on the air. Mr. Nadowski, is that you?
Hey, Victor, how are you? I want to say,
I'm doing well.
If the Broncos lose to the Cowboys, you know, I'll buy you like a year's supply of pizza. I don't even care what the pet has to be. I'll bet anything on that. Oh, my God. The Cowboys?
How can you lose
to the Cowboys? Man, you're a Redskins fan,
you're
too.
Tripping.
That's unbelievable.
Hey, listen.
Unbelievable that you said that. But, wow. That's all I need to say about that. Wow.
I know. It hurt me to say it, but I'm looking at where they're playing. And when they're playing.
Well, the Cowboys can't win at home, and I don't see how Denver's going to lose on the road.
But listen,
no win.
They're coming off. They're going to be coming off of playing Philly, who's going to have that spread offense, right? So it's going to be like it's going to be kind of difficult.
No.
I would be willing to bet everything that I'd be willing to bet you my golf clubs for something.
All right. Well, I know you love those golf clubs. I know how much you love those golf clubs, but I'll take the year supply of pizza. I'll take the year supply of pizza. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it right here. And he can afford it. I know what he does for a living. He can afford it. I want a pizza every week. All I need is your PayPal account.
What do I get when the Broncos win?
You get a, oh, you were right, and I was right.
Oh, my goodness. Classic Victor. That's classic Victor.
You know what?
Classic Victor.
What's his name, sir? Paul. Hey, Paul.
Paul.
Look, Paul, we have a nickname for Victor. We have a nickname for Victor. And I'm about to tell you what his nickname is. His nickname is Too Sweet. and it has a double meaning. The first and foremost meaning, it comes from an actor. His name is Leon Isaac Kennedy. You might want to move. He did a movie called Penitentiary. What? Victor looks just like him.
Shut up. You know what? Hey, Mike,
I will mute you. The second reason why we call him Too Sweet is because he loses all his bets.
Hey, Jerry.
Ricky beat him. Jerry beat him.
No, you got that backwards.
Too sweet.
Jerry loses to me consistently. And you know what? Just for that, I don't care if you find me on that. You get muted. That's what you get now. Right there. Okay.
Now, here we go again with that. This mute thing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. He's all powerful, anyway. Victor.
Right.
For real, Paul? We're going to see tonight at the draft, Paul. Ricky.
Yeah, I know. I know you're going to make me cry, all that stuff. I know.
That's fine. I need somebody to help me laugh at you. I want him to be in the draft.
Now, Paul, we're going to see that game because it's October 6th. We graduate on the 10th. So you'll get to see that game. All right, so we can.
Yeah, I won't watch it with you, and I'm going to count all the touchdown passes Peyton Manning throws.
Okay. And I'm going to count every last piece that you're going to have to buy me for the entire year. Okay?
Well, that's going to be pretty easy. Zero.
It's only 52.
Whatever. Anyway, let me go get back to this because we've got about 5 minutes left alive here, and we have a live draft, Jerry and I, that we have to attend. I'm going to get off the air once we do that. But we left off with Mike. Who was next? Was it Ricky, then Jerry?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
They're going to win this division, hands down. I'm with Paul on that Cowboys thing. You're tripping. If they lose to the Cowboys, they're going to lose to the Skins. And I don't have them really losing to the Skins. So I'm giving them 11-5. They have a great schedule, but that's Peyton. You know what I'm saying? The impact is going to be really whether their defense can operate without what's his name for the first four games or six games.
Von Miller.
Yeah, if they can operate without Von Miller, and then, of course, they're going to feel some effect of that Elvis Dumervil mess up. They're going to feel it. You'll see it. So, I mean, hands down, though, they win a division. I'm giving them 11-5. 12-4 is great for them because last year, what were they, 13-3 last year?
Yep, and I think they'll be 13-3 again.
Yeah, so I'm going to give them one less, maybe two.
All right, JT. Jerry.
I'm seeing him dominating the league, the division, I should say, and I see him short and sweet, 13-3.
Thank you. He might not agree with me that they're going to beat Dallas, but I think Dallas is going to beat them, but 13-3.
Well,
all right,
Vic,
yes?
not to, I hate to say I agree with you, but I think they're going to lose in Dallas. So.
Thank you.
Yeah, so that's one of the losses I have on him, so.
Thank you. I appreciate that, old
y'all
man.
Both
that's
tripping.
My theory right there. All right, now, Paul, since you're on the
yeah.
air, I'm going to let you give your prognostication of what Denver's going to do this year, and you got 1 minute.
Yeah, I'll keep it short and sweet. I'm going to go with 12-4, and they're going to beat Dallas, though.
Okay. Who are the four teams going to lose to then?
I don't have the schedule right in front of me. I'm going to struggle
down.
A little bit at the beginning with the loss of Von Miller, but once Von Miller comes back, they'll get on a roll for the end of the year.
All right, I'll run down the schedule for you. Baltimore, at the Giants, Oakland, Philly, at Dallas, Jacksonville, at Indianapolis, Washington, then they have a bye week, at San Diego, Kansas City, at New England, at Kansas City, Tennessee, San Diego, at Houston,
and at Oakland. You still got them at 12-4? Yeah, only because at any given Sunday rule, I think they're going to lose one or two they shouldn't have.
That should be Dallas. I think so.
No, because Dallas can't win at home. They suck at
We're
home.
We're
going
to mute you right now, Paul, because I have to.
Oh, boy.
I like this dude, man.
Yeah.
Hey, whatever. Anyway, ladies
and
gentlemen.
I should say they're going to go 1-15 with their one win at Dallas.
I can't wait to see him later on.
Whatever. I'm going to take a golf sub out of time and Tiger Woods him. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you for listening to Fantasy Sports and Politics Saturday edition. Please join JT ATM Money tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with the Master Plan. JT, what do you got on tap for tomorrow?
Well, I'm going to be talking about fantasy football, and I'm going to go through top 10 in each division. I mean, not in each division, in each position, okay? Top 10 and I have to a few drafts. I got two live drafts tomorrow, so it's going to be an hour show, and I'm going to go summation of the last few weeks. At each position.
All right, that sounds great. Then on Tuesday, Monday, we have Time Out with Sylvia Crawley. Her guest I can't remember the name right now, but it's going to be Pastor Love. Pastor Love, I believe that's who our guest is going to be when I have him on. Then on Thursday, we have FSP Crew Show, Jeff Black, Jerry, and Black the Bookie on, talking about the weekend sports, followed by a rerun of No Chaser on Friday. Not sure which show Jerry's going to play, but we're going to see what's going to happen there. Then you're right back here with me again, except next Saturday, we're doing a live draft. A live draft on here, ladies and gentlemen, like we normally do every year. It will be our Yahoo Money Week. Listen in as I destroy Jerry and Ricky
the
on
champ.
Air live.
The champ.
So,
Next Sunday, and next
yeah.
Sunday, there's another live draft that you'll be in on 10 a.m. So
that is correct.
Oh,
10:30. That's
yep.
10:30. The ESPN League will be
yes.
live on air on the master plan next
yes.
Sunday. So
mm-hmm.
stick and stay with us. We're doing it live and big. I'm just telling you how we do things, ladies and gentlemen. For me. For Jeff, excuse me, Jeff's not here. For me, my cousin Mike, Rick, JJT Money, and Mr. I'll buy your people for a year, Nadowski, we'd like to say thanks for listening to the show. And JT, take us out of here.
As always, we're out of here, and I get to draft at the same time. Till next week. You've been listening to
Late
Fantasy Sports and Politics.